Broad topics, broad minds, broad hosts, but not just for broads. This is Broadscast with Kim Goldman and Jackie McDougal.
Kim McDougal.
That's me. Hi, good morning.
Good morning. How are
you? So my kids are in the studio today.
Yes, they are. I can see little Lucy's head appear over the window.
Oh my God. They're like, cute. I love that we have windows because my oldest is walking by with a cookie hanging out of his mouth.
My kids at home sleeping. I'm doing this like little hour or 2 hour spurts of leaving him home.
Right.
Oh, so he's asleep.
We should talk about that later in the show. Like,
you can condemn me for leaving my child at
home.
Is that
what you're saying? What age can we leave our kids at home?
Apparently 11.
Yeah?
Because I just did that.
Please, I was babysitting an infant at 11 years old. I know that we say that.
We can talk about it later, but yes, my child is at home totally disinterested in what we do here. So,
yeah,
that's it. That's how it works. Mm-hmm.
So, there's my middle one walking by and just watching. All right, so the debate last night.
Yeah.
The Republicans.
The debate. Did
you watch it?
I did watch.
Or did you watch it on Twitter?
No, I watched it. I posted on my Facebook page last night that I was daydreaming throughout the entire debate what the next SNL skit would be, because every character, I was like, oh, I could see Will Ferrell playing that guy. I could see, you know, Keenan, whatever that guy is that plays on, I don't even know his name, you know, playing Ben, the doctor. I mean, I just had so much fun in my head creating the skit.
Yeah. I don't know why I always call him, I know it's not right, because from Keenan and Kel. But,
yeah, that guy.
Yeah, but I always call him like Keenan Ivory Wayans.
Right, that's why I stopped myself, because that's not him.
It's not him at all.
The other
I don't
Keenan's
know.
Much cuter.
When people have three names or whatever, like, it just gets me.
So I did watch. The best tweet I saw yesterday, I can't say all of it because I'm going to get bleeped, but from Bette Midler said that Lenny Kravitz's penis slipped out on stage. So what? Wait for the GOP debate on tonight. There will be 10 bleeps on stage.
Richards. I thought that just call them Richards.
Yeah, I thought that was hilarious. And so when I watched, I'm like, yeah, look at her. She was a forecaster.
Keenan Thompson, by the way. I had to look it up.
Yeah.
That's funny. But, you know, for me, it's like, let's go to spring training for baseball and then just, like, talk about who's going to win the World Series. Like, it's just, I'm completely bored. At this point, if you have the money, then you can run for president.
Well,
and then it's just, I don't know.
I tuned out after
it's like
a while.
Watching the, it's tryouts.
Well, that's,
I'm watching the Republican tryouts.
My son said to me last night, because he was watching, and he said, Mom, is it the presidential debate already? And I said, no, actually, honey, this is like tryouts, and then we have playoffs, and then we have the
final
four.
Well, we have the season.
So in his brain, that's how it worked. And then the one thing that he said to me when we were watching, and he looked at me and he said, are they all Christian?
Interesting.
And that was his take. And I said, it sounds like it, because I tuned out the second I started hearing about Jesus and God's will, and that's how they're going to lead the country, and that's when I stopped listening, because that's not in line with how I think politics should be working in our country. And I get lost there, because it doesn't jive with me.
But here's the thing, even if you are Christian or you're not, if you're telling me that you are going to get this country in a good place, and to do that, it's because of your personal beliefs. I may not be on the same page with your beliefs, but I'm liking what you're doing with them.
Right.
So if you're going to, you know, homelessness and, you know, help just crime and education.
Right. But one of the candidates, there's so many, I could just throw, you know, dart up. I don't know which one said it, but there was one that said, I'm going to lead this country through God's will. And I'm looking at you going, it's supposed to be the people's will, not God's will. Hmm. And I feel like he's speaking to a certain population, and I get that, but he lost me in that, because that's not how I think a politician should be running the country.
Right.
There was another politician that said the first thing he would do would remove all the illegal laws that Obama put in place. The second thing he would do was disband Planned Parenthood. The fifth or the sixth thing he said he would do was handle the military and ISIS. Really? So your first priority is Planned Parenthood?
Right.
Like, and maybe
because it's in the news and it's hot button. But yeah, I'm thinking ISIS might be a bigger.
That's my point. And so the jabs at each other, the name calling, the condemning, as much as you may not like Donald Trump, I felt like he was a target for last night. Mm. He got all the questions, all the antagonistic questions. And I'm bored with that. Like, I don't know. But this is what we have to gear up for. I don't know.
Yeah.
And all the jabs against Hillary Clinton. I just find it, I lose.
It's very sophomoric.
Yeah, and I lose respect for the process when that happens, and mm-hmm. I'm sure Hillary's going to do it too when she runs. And but I just, I don't know, I get bored there.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and it's so over my head, some of it, because all it is rhetoric, and yeah. I can't follow.
Yeah. It's just crap, so I don't watch until there's an actual threat of one yeah. of these people being our president.
Right.
And
right.
then I'll step up. You right. know what I mean? Because right. right now, you know, there is no threat of that.
Right.
So anyway. So yeah. what else are we talking about today?
Okay, so.
You're in charge.
I'm in charge. Okay, so, well, first of all, did you know that Peter Jennings died?
No.
Peter Jennings died. 67. He died of lung cancer.
Oh.
I know.
That's sad.
It was sad. We should have started with that, but
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he died. I think today. Died today. Yeah, 67. Okay. He's been battling lung cancer. So
well, rest in peace, Peter.
Yeah,
Jennings.
I know. So have a moment. But beyond that, we had a couple days ago. We had Rhonda
Rousey.
Rousey.
Is that how you say it?
I don't know.
Rhonda She's awesome.
Rousey. She's awesome, though.
Yeah.
The UFC.
I don't want to get in an argument with her, like in the Target parking lot.
Yeah. So I did a little research on her and found that she's the first woman to win gold in the Olympics in judo in 2008.
Wow.
So did you know that after she won her title last week in Brazil that she donated her belt to a Brazilian judo school?
Really?
Yeah.
She's cool.
Isn't that cool?
She's abroad.
Yeah.
And in case, you know, you're tuning in for the very first time, abroad is, you know, somebody who maybe kick butt, but
– yeah.
doesn't necessarily have to live life like this tough. I mean, there's that nurturing and unapologetic, and you just are yourself.
Right.
You know, we're taking the term back, and she is certainly abroad.
Well, and she's getting some other comments about her body this week because I guess Playboy came to her and asked her to pose, and she said no, and she stood on her laurels about not wanting to give her prize and her cash away for $5 spread. And then people came after her and said, well, who cares? She's already posed nude and she's already got nudies on the internet. And so I looked him up. She bared like a left breast in Sports Illustrated.
Side boob?
A side boob, is that what it is? I don't have that, so it doesn't really qualify. I'm just all aside. And then and she did bare skin for ESPN, their body image issue.
Right.
But there was the body issue. There was no – it was like
– oh, but those, that body issue was awesome.
It was awesome.
That was – yeah. Don't – that's not posing in Playboy.
Right. So that's my question was, is there a difference between – like she's getting all this credit for not posing in Playboy and then being condemned for doing that.
People want to condemn people for everything. So
yeah.
You know what? Like she – maybe she just – maybe she would pose nude for other – people who she feels respect for. And, you know, Playboy's not bad, but it's just not for her. She made a choice for her own life. How do we have anything to say about it?
Because that's what we do in this country. Oh, and speaking of doing anything like that, Floyd Mayweather, who you can have your own comments about him, okay. he called her out and said, he quoted and said, call me when you can make $300 million in 36 minutes. That's what he says to yeah. the woman who knocks out every component in the first round, whereas Mayweather, what opponent. He danced around.
Yeah.
He danced around to win his $300 million.
Yeah.
She knocks him out first round. I mean, that's her thing.
Yeah.
And she, scary stuff.
Yeah.
He's all padded up, right? All with his big, big, huge, whatever
gloves.
Gloves. And she's bare bone, bare skin. Like it's nuts.
Yeah. He's, you know what? Let's move on. Let's not give him any more attention. So what else you got, Kim?
Oh,
bring
Why am I?
Because you just pulled some great topics this week, and so I'm all
– Well, I want to go back to Playboy for a second. So would you ever pose for Playboy?
Would I ever pose – like totally naked? No.
How about half naked? How about
Please,
a side boob?
Have you seen my – I posed topless once.
I did see it.
In Huffington Post. I know people are like scrambling right now. Actually, we have it on broadcast.com. You just have to do a search. Mm-hmm. But I posed topless with a sash for an article or a post I wrote about having a mastectomy.
Right.
I was the winner, mastectomy.
Right. I got it. Yeah. I got it. It
took you a while, though. You didn't get it right at first. 2 years ago or whatever it was. But so that was, you know, something I did to kind of send the message that life is not over after having, you know, your breasts removed. And I mean, I have had reconstruction either way though. So that was, there was a message there and you didn't see anything, but I mean, just for the money to pose nude. No. I
How
mean,
come?
I would do it like in my, you know, if I was in one of those Dove commercials with like real bodies or whatever, like I just,
what if Playboy did, a magazine that was focused on exactly what you're talking about. And they did women over 40, and we want to celebrate full-figured, not the, I'm not saying you are, but just, I'm just saying full-figured, normal, like not airbrushed. I mean, what if Playboy went out on a limb and did something like that? Would you, and they came to you and said, Jackie McDougal, page 68 is yours.
How much money?
$100,000.
Mm. Not for $100,000.
Really?
I don't think so.
Even if you could do like a nipple pasty?
I don't even have nipples yet. Which is a whole other
pump, yeah.
But you know, the women out there who've had surgery.
Yeah.
They, you know, that's for you guys because it's a process when it comes to reconstruction. So I don't really, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I would. Maybe I would because I'm not ashamed of, you know, I'm, it's more, I think I would have a conversation with my kids and let, and present that right. to them and ask them what they thought.
Right.
You know, because to me it's, I'm not ashamed. I could be stronger. I could be leaner, but I am who I am and I'm a good person and I'm a good mom and I'm sassy. And
right.
even though I still haven't put my makeup on and we're on YouTube doing this, but, yeah, I'd have to talk to my kids. So you're saying you would?
I don't think
You've
I would.
You've never been asked? I'm surprised. No, you know, when you're in the spotlight and
no.
like, what if that was like, hey, Kim Goldman, you know, we want you.
We want to see a new side to Kim Goldman. No, I don't think I would. My life has already been exposed enough.
That's all that you have?
Yeah, that's all I have left. And
so coming yeah. up in the show today, speaking of exposed, I don't even know, author Jenna McCarthy, the exposed would be the Jenny McCarthy, but she's an author of Pretty Much Screwed, as well as a lot of other books.
She's the author of pretty much a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I have to tell you, oh, it's in my car. I have started reading Pretty Much Screwed yesterday, and I'm halfway through.
Oh,
because
really?
I could not stop reading it.
Oh, good. Yeah, so I didn't.
I was excited. Well, that's because I took the book first. So we're going to be back with Jenna, also at Jenna Writes on Twitter. And so we'll be right back.
All right, you're listening to Broadcast. We'll be right back.
Why should you become a Broadcast sponsor? Broad multimedia exposure, including radio, web, iTunes, YouTube, and social media sites like Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
A quick, easy way to reach your target demo, women. Exclusive, limited time only, affordable introductory rates.
Plus 20 years experience in on-air and online marketing. We produce your one-of-a-kind creative in-house, saving you time and money.
For more on becoming a Broadcast sponsor, visit Broadcast.com today.
You're listening to Broadcast with Kim Goldman and Jackie McDougal, two broads with faces made for radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to Broadcast here on KHTS on this lovely Friday. And
I do have a face made for radio today.
Yeah, and we are joined by two beautiful little McDougal offspring.
But more than that, we're joined by the fabulous Jenna McCarthy. Jenna, hello.
Good morning.
Hello, Miss Author, Talker, Speaker, Sassy Pants. Extraordinaire.
Happy pants, big mouth. You know, at least those were all kind of nice things so far. Hi, ladies.
Hi. How are you?
Are you broads? I like
yes.
broads. I was
yes.
like, my dad was like the New Yorker guy. Like, yeah, check out that broad over there. Like, that's all I can think of.
So, Jenna, what does it mean to you be a broad? Like, your dad used to say, "What? How did you interpret that?
Well, my dad meant it, you know, as the most gracious, gentlemanly compliment, in other words, like nice tits, but I sort of take it to mean like a cool chick, like you're abroad, you're
right.
one of us, you're cool, not necessarily stacked, for
right,
instance.
Right, exactly. That is true, that yeah. is true. And we have to be careful here on AM radio.
Oh, right, check, sorry.
It's all good, because
we have 8-second delay. Those I used to be an FM radio DJ, and they actually installed one of those
just
the day
you?
I was hired. Yeah, no, I'm not kidding.
Tell us about that. So you said you actually pumped breast milk on the air.
I did.
As an FM radio DJ. Where were you a DJ?
I was in Santa Barbara. It was the K-Tide Early Show. It was a classic rock station, and my co-host and I were the drive time radio hacks, and we had so much fun. I mean, we had so much fun, but he led the charge. I was kind of the color commentary. He has a very long-standing, successful radio career, and he had been looking for a co-host for years, and he kept asking me, like, you know, he'd kind of go through people and they wouldn't work out, and he kept saying, oh my God, you have to do this. We'd have so much fun. You're so funny. And I'm like, I'm not getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. No way. Like, are you nuts?
And then you became a mom.
I actually did it for the 2 years before I had my first baby, and then up through the whole pregnancy, which was really fun. And then until she was about 6 months old. And then I was like, dude, I can't do this anymore. I can't, like, I'm cross-eyed. And he's like, but you're almost out of the woods. Come on. And I was like, you know, and I'm writing books, and my other job, I was still writing for magazines and doing all this other stuff on the side. And I was like, I have too many jobs here. And milking is a big one. So I'm one of them is going to have to go.
Right? I used to breastfeed. I used to breast or pump milk in my office, uh-huh, or in the car home. That was always fun. I was sitting in traffic with a pump.
Oh, right.
And I remember sitting in at a stoplight, and this big truck came alongside me, and he looked over, and I'm like, meh, 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 in my car. And the truck looked down and gave me a thumbs up. I'm like, what's up?
Wait. While you were driving?
Yeah, yes, I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Well, this is before you couldn't text and drive. They should have a law for no pumping and driving. But I used to have
one of those hands-free?
Yeah. Yeah, I just attached it.
God, I couldn't even work the remote when I was pumping. Like, yeah. That was all I could do.
Yeah, that was pretty much, when that happened, I was like, you know what, I can't do this drive anymore. That's actually when I decided I was going to quit my job, because I was in the car, and my poor little kid was at home, and I was in the car for most of the day, and I'm like, I can't, this is not healthy.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's not healthy for the people around you either. Yeah. So, but you say, yeah, if you
exactly.
weren't, if you, you say if you weren't a writer, you'd actually be a professional organizer, or an interior decorator, or a mermaid.
A mermaid. I really would like to be a mermaid, but, you know, back to the rack thing, maybe the whole shell top look probably wouldn't work out for me, since the babies and all.
Right.
I am such an organizing freak. Like, my friends mock me. They mock me so bad. Like, when my kids will say in front of a group of people, Mom, look at this plush toy I found in miscellaneous hard toys. And they look at me, they're like, I'm sorry, what? You have a bin called Miscellaneous Hard Toys, and your three-year-old refers to it thus?
Oh,
yes, I do.
Kim has a bin named that, but I don't think it's toys for the three-year-old.
And it's empty.
AM radio.
Yeah,
I know, exactly. Friendly. See, I can refer to things. You just can't say it out loud.
I have a friend. I have a friend that organized her kids' Legos by color. Like, she has a wall of Legos by color and, like, person, or whether they go for the tree or whether they make a car. Like, it's insane. And when the kids, they pull them all down, they play with them, and then they all have to organize it and put it all back.
Yeah, I used to be that
Does
person.
Does she need more friends? Because I would like to be her friend. You need to introduce us.
All right.
I need you to come to my house, actually. So,
deadline. I am on a long, there's a wait list for me to come to your house.
Oh, geez,
well, instead,
nice.
I guess I'll just read your books. So let's talk about the books for a few minutes here. So your latest, Pretty Much Screwed, is awesome. I am like, yesterday I put it on my Instagram that I told the kids, like, mommy's working, as I just sat there and read the book, because, you know, I had to prepare for today's show. But, like, I knew, like, I'm not going to give anything away, but I knew things were going to happen there with Charlotte. I'm not even halfway through, but,
So yeah. It's a novel, right?
It's a novel. It's
you think you know, but you don't know. Hopefully, if you do know, then suck or you're very omniscient.
Oh, okay.
I might intentionally be leading you down the wrong path, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
Really? But, you know, I have to say, let's talk the word chicklet. Do you find that to be a fun term, an offensive term? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
Does not bother me at all.
I love
what it is.
I love it. To me,
when someone says chicklet, I assume two things about it. It's going to be fun, and it's going to be funny.
Yes.
And now, just because it's fun and funny doesn't mean it can't also be a little bit deep, a little bit thought provoking.
Exactly.
You know, it might change your life, but it's still going to be fun and funny.
Exactly.
Bridget Jones' Diary was fun and funny. Eat, Pray, Love was fun and funny.
Oh, really? You think so?
I do.
I couldn't get through that one because I couldn't get past the fact that she was, like, just so dramatic about her life. Like, I just wanted her to get up and, like, just get up and stop whining. Like, it was.
You're pointing out all the books that I have not read.
Yeah, but Jenna's books. We're going to go to break, and we're going to talk more about those and many other things. But I just love that it was. immediately I felt like I knew these women and their husbands, and they could be anybody that you know, and little bits and pieces of a lot of people that you know. And
well,
so,
didn't you
well,
take
they actually
stories?
Are bits yeah. and pieces of a lot of people that I know, of course, because yeah. I mean, while it's incredibly fun to create a character from scratch, there's always, even if it's subconscious, there's always traits or phrases or sayings or something, because, you know, that's what you know. You write what you know.
Right. So I read that you put a post on your website and you asked people to share their stories, that they would remain anonymous and share their stories about their divorce or their if they stalked their exes. And then I you wrote something right at the end that says you've already given the ex a small penis or something, right? Was that the stories? I love that. So were people willing to give you their life story in a knowing that it's going to be printed?
Oh, my gosh. Total strangers were emailing me with these stories. And at the end, several of them said some version of, I don't even care if you use this. It just felt so good to get that out.
Right.
That's awesome. You should charge them for therapy, you know?
Exactly. You know, I think people like validation. I think people like, I will tell you this. This book is dedicated to three of my girlfriends. Mm-hmm. And they are three friends who went through the ugly, unwanted divorce. And thankfully, I can honestly say they're all in much better places now. And obviously, it was for the best because they were married to tools and, you know, all this other, all the other things you're supposed to say about that. But, you know, they really did. Like, this book started with the day one of them, her husband left, and she was rocking in a chair, and she had just had not seen it coming, not even in a tiny, you know, not even like, whoa, and she begged him not to leave her, and he was like, I'm sorry. He just kept saying, I'm sorry, and I'm cradling this woman, this 40-year-old woman in my arms, and she looked me in the eyes, and she said, I didn't think we were any more miserable than anybody else.
Oh. Mm.
And you used
and
that.
I went home
you used
and I wrote
line
down
in
that
the book.
Line.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning of the book. That was, because I'm like, oh my God, that's such a profound statement, you know, because some of us are miserable and some of us are like, well, yeah, but you're supposed to be miserable, or we're only miserable because we're in this phase. And to some extent, that's true. But to another extent, if you don't open your eyes, something like this could happen. And it's not always the other person's fault, even though in the cases of those three women I mentioned, it was totally the husband's fault.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes you have to realize you do play a part in that.
Absolutely.
And sometimes, you know, it takes two. That's
I think we all have a cheater inside of us, and there's an equation, and we have to take a break, and I'm going to tell you what that equation is. I'm curious to see if you agree, but we'll be right back with Jenna McCarthy, author of Pretty Much Screwed.
When Broadcast was looking to relaunch our website, we knew exactly who to call, the team at Stark Social Media.
At Stark Social, they understand the importance of a strong online presence.
From marketing and branding, web design, and social media, the in-house team listens to their clients' needs and budget, and responds with a tailor-made plan for your small business, nonprofit, or startup.
Stark Social's philosophy is simple: do good work, and they live by that philosophy every day.
Stand out from the competition and contact Stark Social Media today at starksocial.com.
You're listening to Broadcast with Kim Goldman and Jackie McDougal. They're huge in anywhere other than somewhere that you've been before.
Back. You're listening to Broadcast here on KHTS on this beautiful Friday, and you have we have Jenna McCarthy still on the line. Jenna,
woo-hoo!
You there?
I'm here.
You didn't leave. You didn't say forget this place.
Hey, I want to let people know, though, that they can subscribe to us on iTunes and also call in 661-298-5487 and follow us on Facebook and all that great stuff. And anyway.
Every show we're trying to break the internet, so knock on out.
Blah, blah. So we're talking about cheating. Because not all those divorces stemmed from cheating, correct?
Only two of the three.
Okay. So I believe that everyone has a cheater within. And it is, my equation is void plus opportunity equals cheating. And so one of them, you know, if there's a great big void, it doesn't take much opportunity. But if, like, things are going well, but opportunity is there, and then things start to kind of, the void gets bigger, I just think we all have that in us. And so as a married person, I cannot dictate or change or be in control of the opportunity, you know, because that's going to be everywhere. So all I can do is work on the void. So make sure that we're strong and that, you know, we're there for each other. And I'm not saying it's my fault if he went and strayed, because there are some guys who are just pigs, you know,
right.
And some women too. Women cheat as well. But I just, I think that we all have it. We all have the potential. What are your thoughts there?
Oh, I really liked the way you said that. And I love the idea that you can't control the one, but you can control the other. And I'm very visual, so I'm picturing this, you know, graphic as this one gets bigger, that one gets smaller. But I kind of disagree a little bit.
Okay.
Like, I don't think, as miserable as I am, if I was totally, absolutely miserable in my marriage, I still wouldn't cheat. I just wouldn't. I'm not a cheater. I just, I have such strong feelings about that. And maybe, I don't know, because my dad cheated on my mom. Mm-hmm. We could you know, get into therapy about that one. But I always felt like, you know, like, grab your sack, like, man up, get out. If something's not good, man up, and, you know, like, stay in sequence, get out of this before you get into that. And I will tell you, and my husband hates when I tell this story, but this is a true story too. My husband was engaged to somebody else when I met him, and we were like, oh, wow, you're cute, and sparks are flying. And he was like, I didn't even know how miserable I was, but yeah. I knew as soon as I was attracted to you that that was never going to work, because I can't be with somebody when I'm having feelings for somebody else. And so he completely extricated from that first. And over the years, we've had many, many friends who have, you know, divorced from infidelity or had affairs and somehow magically worked it out. And he and I are both sitting over here going, like, I couldn't forgive and forget. And, I mean, we had one friend when we found out he was cheating on his wife, my husband cried.
Aww.
He literally cried because I thought that person had more integrity than that.
Mm-hmm. Do you think?
And obviously, that's why somebody like me, who comes from a history of cheating, married somebody like my husband. Like, I need somebody that's like, I will never, ever, ever, ever cheat on you. No matter how drunk I am, no matter how mad I am, no matter how many naked, beautiful supermodels are throwing themselves at me, no.
Where? What does your husband do that that's happening?
I was talking about me.
Oh.
I was talking about me.
Jenna, do you think there's a difference between emotional cheating and physical cheating?
I think they're both equally bad. I mean, you know, people say all the time, and again, we've had friends that the cheating was a one-night stand, and they say, well, at least it wasn't emotional. And you're like, okay, but now I can never trust you again. And we've had other friends, I mean, I can't even count how many were there, like, well, they never actually slept together, but they had this, like, you know, they had the full-on affair with everything else.
Right.
I mean, no, and to your point, That sort of thing, I absolutely agree, develops when you're not getting your needs met at home, whether they're physical or emotional or financial, whatever it is, you're going to start maybe going down that path. But my hope is that when you take one step on that path and you see what's ahead, you're going to go, whoa, backtrack, mayday, abort mission.
Right.
I mean, that's my hope. Obviously, people make mistakes.
Although I have to say, you know, and this is certainly not an invitation for my husband to go and have one, but like a fling, you know, that I feel like for some can be seen as a red flag, like a one night, you know, red flag, this is happening, we've got to work. Like, I'm not saying that I wouldn't be like, get out at first, but, you know, but when it comes to being in the workplace and then you're spending lunches together and you're, you know, texting each other later and you're hiding that, nothing's happening. That to me, but the ultimate betrayal for me is not him going and having relations with somebody else, but maybe doing chores.
Like at somebody else's house.
Yes. Like imagine him going and yeah, like I've asked him for 3 weeks to clean the backyard and spray it down. Like if I found out he was off spraying down someone else's backyard, that's not a metaphor or any sort of like that, I would be livid, because to me, I'm half joking, but it's really true. Like if he was emptying
your
dishwasher.
You can sleep with anybody you want, honey, but I catch you spraying somebody's yard.
Exactly.
Waka waka.
So, I mean, this is your what? How many books have you written now at this point?
I counted.
I really can't count.
I counted. This is trivia with Jenna McCarthy. I counted 11 on your Amazon page. I counted 11. Then I got all the way to the bottom, and then I found that you have another book coming out in February 2016.
What is that
one? And, yeah. Oh my gosh, that one's super fun. We just changed the title yesterday. It was, let me see. What
it was, let me tell you what you've done. did write it as Ill Will, and then the cover said it was to be announced. So if you changed it yesterday, you need to let Amazon know.
I do. I just had the conference call with my publisher in the marketing department. They didn't like the way Ill Will was looking on the covers, and I was like, you know what? It's actually kind of a negative.
Right.
It has negative connotations, and this book is really fun. It sounds like it's not funny at all, but it's really funny. It's these three sisters that do not speak at all, and their mother dies, and she was not the best mother on the planet, and they have to settle her estate and do all this stuff, and the only way they can do it is together, and they wind up, they were completely estranged, like, you know, they're very much, there's the oldest with all those controlling tendencies, and there's the middle peacekeeper, and there's the young free spirit who's just a hot mess, and I love her so much, and because she really is a hot mess, and the control freak wants to tell her how to do everything, and, you know, she's like, you're not the boss of me, but with much more colorful language, and they wind up all having to live together, which sounds contrived, but it really works out, and having to go through this process of grieving and not grieving and not missing this mother, but realizing that, you know, what they had lost was each other, and it's very fun.
Wow.
It's very fun.
So I love your style of writing. You know, I feel like, and I'm sure you hear this all the time, you write sort of like you speak, you know, and it's very conversational and it's very relatable. And so it feels like you're hanging out with girlfriends when you're actually by yourself on your bed reading a book, you know?
Oh my gosh, that is the highest compliment that I could get, because nothing bothers me more than reading something that's, you know, I'm a writer. There are rules. There are rules, right? You never end a sentence with a preposition. But nobody walks up to you and says, about what is that book you are reading?
Right, what's your book about?
And if I write, about what is that book, or tell me about the book, no, I'm going to say, what's your book about?
And if
I read that any other way and it reads wrong, like, I'll put down a book for a sentence like that.
Right.
It's
a little pretentious. So we have to go to break. You're going to stay with us, yes?
Me? Yes.
Yeah. All right. We'll be right back with Jenna McCarthy.
You're listening to Broadscast with Kim Goldman and Sweet Little Jackie.
Welcome back to Broadscast. We're talking to Jenna McCarthy, author of Pretty Much Screwed and Pretty Much Everything Else.
Hey, so Jenna, I have a question. So it's two-part. How many memoirs did you write? Three.
Yeah.
Okay. So when did you – and then you also have Maggie Malone, right? That's the other character. Okay. When did you make the transition from your memoirs to then writing fictional books? And how hard was that, or easy?
It was not hard at all. I'm trying to remember which one I wrote first. So before I wrote and sold Maggie Malone, I wrote a children's picture book.
Okay.
It was something that I had been working on, and my agent does not represent children's books. I had asked her for friends in the past, like, hey, you know, does your agent do children's books? I have this thing. And she had said, no, you know, here's where I recommend. So I have this thing just because I have kids, and I have to read them books ad nauseum, and I think most of them stink. And I was like, well, if I wrote a book, it would be fun for the parents to read, and it would be great, and blah, blah, blah. So one day I'm talking to my agent, and she's like, what are you going to write next? This was after the honeymoon book. And I said, I don't know, I kind of have this children's book idea. And she was like, well, send it to me. And I said, well, you don't do children's books. And she said, dumb blank, I'm your agent. I represent, if you write a cookbook, I'm your agent. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Okay. So I sent it to her, and she's like, well, what else do you have gathering dust on a shelf? I'm sending this to HarperCollins today.
Wow.
And I was like, okay. She sent it to HarperCollins, same agent who did Fancy Nancy, Splat the Cat, Pinkalicious,
right.
The same editor.
Mm-hmm.
She literally made an offer within 2 weeks and for a two-book deal. So I wrote those two, got so excited. I had another idea that I'd been noodling around. I threw that one out there. That one got bought. So those two have been being illustrated for the past 2.5 years.
Wow.
They will be out next year. The first one comes out next year, and the next one comes out in 2017. I mean,
wow.
This is crazy. These are books that I sold in 2012. My illustrators are fantastic. One of them's a Caldecott nominee, and the other one is just this amazing Sarah Palacios. She's amazing. And Molly Idol is the Caldecott gal. Mm. So now I'm like, great, okay, I have to wait 4 years for these to come out. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I had this idea for a middle grade series. And I had another author friend, my co-author on that series, Carolyn. Is this boring?
No.
We were each going to write. I said, I started this book. I don't know where it's going. And she said, well, I started a book, so we should like keep each other accountable and send chapters and be each other's writing partners. And I said, great. So I sent her my first chapter, and it was a variation of the one that's out now. And she said, oh, my gosh, this is awesome. And, you know, what would be even cooler is if you made the magic this certain brand of magic. And I was like, oh, my gosh, that's awesome. And she said, do you want to write it together? And I said, never, not ever. No, I do not want to work with people. I'm a total loner. I'm a control freak. And she's like, well, I'm not. And you can have final say on everything. Let's do it. And I said, no, 50 ways to Sunday. No, no, absolutely not. No. And she said, well, you know what? I'm just going to write the next chapter. You can look at it or not, but I'm going to write it and I'm going to see if you like it. And she did. And she sent it to me and I loved it. And I was like, oh my gosh. That was like, so I don't know how other co-authors work, but the way we worked was we wrote a chapter a day.
Yeah.
And I would write it, send it to her that night. She'd read it, get me, you know, work on the next one the next day. We would talk every morning. What do you think should happen in this chapter? And sometimes I'd say, you know, well, I have a really good idea, but I want to surprise you. And she'd say, great. And, you know, we came up with all these processes where, well, what if I don't like something you write? And so we had each one of us got 3 strikes per book, like a final no. So it I could say, well, I don't really like, you know, that scene. And she could say, well, I'm going to, that's one of the 3 things I'm going to fight for. So you had to fight for things that were really important because you only had 3 in a 40,000 word
broadcast.
Book, you know?
This is how Kim and I work.
No, I just, my own personal plug, I have a book coming out in September and I co-wrote it with an author that I'd never met. We've still never met. We've only texted and talked on the phone and emailed. And it was really hard actually to find a rhythm. And there's a lot of trust and you don't realize how much trust that you have to put in someone else. And one of the things that we struggled with was finding each other's voice and, you know, trying to stay true to that throughout the entire book. Because our book is every chapter's its own story. And trying to, you know, not get offended when the red strikes would come back and the comments. And we would duke it out over things. I mean, I would hang up and I would get so mad. And I've written a couple books, and one with HarperCollins, actually. Or William Morrow before it was HarperCollins. Anyway, and I remember some of my best arguments were with the editor and with, you know, other people that I was writing with, because you really fight for what you believe in and what you think is a good storyline and what you think, you know, and it that process is frustrating and beautiful in the same vein.
Well, I could not agree more, and I feel like, you know, there were some things where I'd say, I like it this way, you like it that way, let's leave it in the manuscript with the question and we'll let the editor decide. And then that way we don't have to, you know, we don't have to duke it out. We did have a couple of knockdowns, I won't lie.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, and I hate admitting this, I hate admitting this, but it's the truth, so I will. My big thing was, well, you know, this is my voice. She's not going to be able to, like, mimic my voice, because that's my voice. And then she did, and I was like, for the love of God, she stole my voice, you know? But she's a talented writer. She's talented in that she could assume that, since I was the one that started it. And we really did. It was a really fun process.
And that book, Maggie Malone that you wrote together. And what ages is that for? Because I was checking that out, and my daughter's 8. And I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I was going to say 8 to 10, 11.
Okay, great.
You know, I know that, you know, writing children's book, I wrote a proposal for one, because I found that a couple years ago, my son was asking me about death and where do people go after they die. And at the time, you know, my son was young and I wasn't prepared to have a conversation with him about heaven. I personally don't believe in that. But my son, I was trying to explain death and what happens to my son, and he was not getting it. I'm like, let's go to the bookstore and see if we can find a book to help you understand this. I could not find a book that spoke to the beliefs that we have and want to uphold in our home. And so without having a really strong religious connotation. So I tried to write a proposal, and it was really user-friendly and very non-religious and just really from your heart. And I had a heck of a time trying to sell it, because they said, there's already books like that out there. And I'm like, but it doesn't speak
to me.
What?
Right. Yeah, show me one.
But I think it's a different time now. I think that religion is so much more, and people who aren't necessarily believers have a bigger voice. But we have to go to break. When we come back, I want to talk about marriage, because outside of your books, you write a lot of articles as well, and marriage seems to be, and even your TED Talk. So we will be right back with Jenna McCarthy, author of Pretty Much Screwed.
Why should you become a broadcast sponsor? Broad multimedia exposure, including radio, web, iTunes, YouTube, and social media sites like Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
A quick, easy way to reach your target demo, women. Exclusive, limited-time-only, affordable introductory rates.
Plus, 20 years experience in on-air and online marketing. We produce your one-of-a-kind creative in-house, saving you time and money.
For more on becoming a broadcast sponsor, visit broadcast.com today.
You're listening to Broadcast with Kim Goldman and Jackie McDougall, the most riveting hour of anything you've ever heard.
Welcome back to Broadcast.
Jenna McCarthy in the house.
Subscribe on iTunes and all that good stuff, and Facebook, Twitter. So, Jenna, before we get into marriage here, tell us where people can find you. JennaMcCarthy.com, at Jenna Writes on Twitter. What else you got?
I think it's Jenna Writes on Instagram. It's Jenna, the real Jenna McCarthy on Facebook. I have several Facebook pages. You just find me. And even now when you Google me, it no longer says, did you mean Jenny McCarthy?
Woo!
That was like, right?
That's huge. That's huge.
Annoying that what? Did you? No, I didn't. I didn't. Okay.
But you know what? That's it's similar to my personal goal is when you go to write broadcast, it says, did you mean broadcast?
Oh, yeah.
Because,
oh, yeah.
You know.
No.
Right now, it still tries to correct me.
Jenny, it says, did you mean Jenna? That's what
nice.
I mean.
Nice. Yeah, similar goals, similar goals. Hey, so your TED Talk, your articles, like you often write about marriage. So why is that? Do you feel passionate about your marriage, giving you know, your own personal experiences to help others? Like, what's
well,
the
funniest part about this is, so the book came first. From the book, I was actually asked to do that TED Talk, and I was the one over there going, I'm not an expert. I'm not Jenny. You know that, right? And they were like, the E in TED stands for entertainment, and we like your voice, and we like, you know, the light and funny, and, you know, please do this, whatever. So I did, and it was fun and terrifying and all that stuff. But now I actually have a side career because I do corporate speaking because of that, which is super fun and also
lucrative.
Nicely profitable. Yeah. It's the big joke. Like, my husband and I will get in a, you know, not a fight, but like, I think this, well, I think that. And I'm like, well, I am the marriage expert, honey, so you're going to have to defer to me on that one. But the reason I got into that in the first place, seriously, I write about everything, and I love writing about marriage. And this is going to sound narcissistic and full of myself, but it's honest to God truth. I am happily married. And I feel like that is really an anomaly. And, you know, we fight like cats and dogs, and my husband drives me up the flipping wall. But at the end of the day, I'm happily married. So I must know something about it, right?
Right.
And this is not just me saying everything I know about it. I do tons of research. That's what I do. I was a magazine writer for 22 years. So,
right.
You know, I have my finger on the pulse and also Google alerts, and I have John Gottman on speed dial, and I follow all the research. That's what I do. So I turn this eye-crossingly boring research into something that you can actually implement in your daily life and make your own marriage better, because it's not going to get better on its own. And even the best, I have a great marriage. It could be better. I could, you know, there are things that I could be doing all day, every day. And so what are they? And let's remind people to do it, and let's do it in a funny way. And like with my marriage book, seriously, the feedback I got over and over and over and over was, oh, my God, thank God it's not just me.
Right.
You know, and I'm not just complaining about my husband in this book. For everything I say that he does, I throw myself under the bus with some even more annoying thing that I do. But, you know, it's like, this is what a real marriage looks like. Let's peel back the curtain. This is what it looks like. Ups and downs, you know, laughter and tears.
Do you discuss with your husband?
I think.
Do
I fight with my husband?
No. Do you discuss with him before you write stuff in your books, like things that have to do with him? Do you get husband approval?
He reads every word that I write before it's published, and I can tell you, oh, I can't say it because it's a bad word, but I had one sentence about him in that 80,000-word book that he said, please don't say that. Oh. And there's some really, like, revealing things. And I'm over here going, really? Of all this stuff I said, that's the thing that bothered you?
That's funny.
Yeah. I went, okay. And I mean, I would never disrespect him. I would never. But he also, you know, I was doing this when he met me. And my husband is the anti-me, which, you know, opposites attract for sure. We are Green Acres. I am big, loudmouth city girl. And he is quiet, conservative farm boy. And for whatever wacky reason that works, but he knew, you know, and he's like, I could never be with another me. We'd be so boring.
Oh, yeah.
And you could never be with another you because you'd never shut up.
That's the thing. It's actually a fact, not a feeling, but I'm in a happy marriage as well. And actually, it's better now that my kids are 8, 10, and 11 than it ever was. Oh my gosh, I just totally lost my...
You're in a happy marriage, woohoo! Yeah, single girl.
Because we're getting the gotta go. Like
we're getting the gotta go sign.
We're getting the gotta go sign, and I'm sitting here ready to talk Purge. About marriage and all that good stuff. But it can always get better, you know. But at the same time, you gotta appreciate what you have. And if I had somebody like me, I would die.
So right. Jenna,
I would never want to be with another me.
Yeah.
No. So Jenna McCarthy, I almost called you McCartney. Now we're changing your name.
That's great. Thanks.
Thank you so much for staying on the line with us all morning here. We really appreciate it. And we love all your books. And next time you have one, you want to write about an ex-husband who stinks, you can come to me for stories.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much.
Oh,
we'll see you next week.
I loved being here. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Jenna. You.